In this week's parsha, we have the Musafim and one of the strangest Mamre Chazal, maybe in all of Shas, is about the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. All right, where unlike every other day on Rosh Chodesh, it says Usir Zimechad B'Chatas and adds La Hashem. Now, Chazal, why does it say series of Chad Chatas LaHashem? All the Karbanos LaHashem and Pshuto Shel Mikra. We don't bring them to any other God, Chas V'Shalom, only to Hashem. So we know the famous Medrash that the Levana said, Shnei Maros HaGadolim, and the moon said, well, you can't have two equal kings using one crown. Hashem said, fine, so you're smaller. Made the moon smaller, and then tried to make it up to the moon, when the moon was very upset about this. In the end, Hashem says, Chata, series of Chad Chatas LaHashem. LaHashem means Bavur Hashem, for Hashem, not just to Hashem, but for Hashem, bring a chatas on my behalf every Rosh Chodesh to make up for the fact that I was b'mayit levana. This is obviously very strange on many levels, mostly in that, what do you mean bring a chatas on Hashem's behalf? I understand I could say bring a chatas on my behalf without getting into halachic shlichus of in a chatas, because I could do something wrong. Even a big king, even my biggest gadol, even Moshe Rabbeinu could do something wrong, but Hashem's by definition perfect. How could he say to bring a chatas on his behalf for being mamayit levana? If it was wrong to be mamayit levana, he wouldn't have done it. If he did it, obviously it was right, and he doesn't need to bring a chatas. So a number of mefarshim, when they write, the person says, these are sodos in Kabbalah that I can't explain now. So mestam, it's sodos in Kabbalah we can't explain, but on a pshat level, the Tosos Rush already explains, this is expanded on by the Maharal, both in his Chiddush HaGadol and his the Gur Aryeh here. He says it's teaching us midos. Of course, Hashem was 100% right, and of course, Levana was 100% wrong. By definition, Hashem is always 100% right. There's no, if you're misopic about that, you're a kofer. But just because you're 100% right doesn't mean that you shouldn't feel bad, right? People have this misimpression. If I'm 100% right and you're wrong, then it doesn't matter how you feel. Right, that I don't have to feel bad for you. I don't have to empathize. You're 100% wrong. If you're wrong, you're the bad guy. You're evil. You know, this comes up a lot of times. I'm 100% right. Tak, I am right. I checked with my rabbi. I checked with my lawyer. I checked with everyone. I checked with 80 dayanim. I'm 100% right. So that means that I don't care how you feel. No, that's not true. Hashem was 100% right, and he felt guilty. Not guilty. He felt bad for the Levana. This happens in religious things also. Sometimes people, they have the wrong hashkafa. They're not knowing Al-Pi Torah. They have a krum hashkafa. They're doing something fundamentally wrong, going in the wrong direction. And then you know what? Sometimes you have to stand up for Torah and says, that's not what the Torah says. You're 100% wrong. You have to stand up for what's right. But that doesn't mean you don't feel bad for the other person. Okay, where they're coming from and their journey, etc., with their baggage, this is hurtful for them. If it's hurtful for someone else, you have to feel that hurt. Hashem said, even though I'm God and I'm 100% perfect, and there's no possibility that I'm wrong, still, bring a chatas for me. I feel bad, even though I didn't do anything wrong, that I hurt the feelings of Levana. Kolsky, and a person who you never know might be wrong, no matter what they're standing up for, and certainly when you're standing up for your own inyanim, you always have to take into account the feelings of the other person. The Maharal says, from objective perspective, of course there's no need for a chatas on Levana, but from the subjective perspective of Levana, which was wrong, but from the subject perspective of the Levana was hurt. The Levana was treated unfairly. That's the Levana's subjective wrong perspective. Nonetheless, that's the real feelings of the Levana. We know the right-wingers like to say facts don't care about feelings, but it's also true that feelings don't care about facts. Right? If someone feels that way, even though they're wrong, they still feel that way, and Hashem still feels bad for the Levana and says, you know, bring a kapara, bring an offering of appeasement for the Levana, for the Levana that felt that way. I thought maybe, if this is true, well, this is not a musaf part. You could say that there's a diuk in the musaf of Rosh. Chazal say that Rosh Hashanah is the chag shalavanim is kasaba. The moon is hidden. We're not sure what that means. Tosafot discusses it. Mishulam says you don't bring the chatas. You don't bring the chatas Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. His diuk is Rosh Hashanah says milvad olas hachodesh min chasa. It doesn't say milvad chatas hachodesh min chasa. So it implies you bring olas Rosh Chodesh, not chatas Rosh Chodesh. And Rebbeinu Meshulam Taka holds in Tosos, Rebbeinu Tam doesn't like it, that you don't bring the chatas Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Maybe Rosh Hashanah is the Yom of Malchus Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is Dafka, the day of the objective truth of Malchus Hashem. We revatal ourselves to Malchus Hashem. On the one day of Rosh Hashanah, the day of Malchus Hashem, that we see there's nothing but Hashem in the world, That's the objective truth. That's the day of objective truth. We can't take into account the subject or effect of Levana, and we don't have to and we don't have to worry about that. So Dafkan Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Giloy Malchus Hashem, the coronation of Hashem, that's the day we don't take into account the wrong subjective perspective of the Levana, and we don't bring a Chatas. But the other 11 or 12 months of the year, we do take that into account, because it's not enough to be right. You also have to care about people's feelings. There's a wild word from the Kotzker. It's very rachok from Pshuto Shel Mikra, but it might be Pshuto Shel Hachayim. The Kotzker asks, how come only in this parsha did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Hashem to appoint a new leader in his stead? Okay, Pshuto Shel Mikra, there's very good reasons, which, okay, let's say you can get out of. He says, it has to do with the beginning of the parsha Pinchas. What's the beginning of the parsha Pinchas? Tachzar Shekine Lelokav Vaychaper El Bnei Yisrael. Tachzar Shekine Lelokav. So, says the Kotzker, again, it's a whole vart the Kotzker puts together. He says, Moshe never asked for another leader because it was obvious who the next leader would be Pinchas. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, then Elazar would be the Kohen Gadol, and Pinchas would be the leader because he was very, very chashev. Until now, he saw Pinchas as a kanoi. He was a good kanoi. Asher king of the Kovach, half of the soul. He saved the entire Jewish people with his kanos. He didn't destroy with his kanos. He saved the Jewish people with his kanos. He saved the world with his kanos. But Moshe said, he saved all those kanos. He's amazing. He's a tzaddik. He gets schar and olam haba like you never heard. But he can't be the leader anymore. You can't be the leader for your kanoi. Therefore, Moshe says to Hashem, "V'losi adash Hashem katzon asherin lahem roe." Keep it like a sheep without a shepherd. A shepherd is the opposite of kanoi. Shepherd can't yell at the sheep. A shepherd can't make the sheep act properly. The shepherd has to care about every sheep, like the famous Medrash of Moshe Rabbeinu, with the little shepsel went for the water. Moshe cared about it and carried it back instead of yelling at it. Moshe says to Hashem, Pinchas great as a kanoi, but now he's puzzled to be a leader. You can't be a leader for your kanoi. You can accomplish things. You can save the world. But the leader needs to be someone who, instead of punishing people for doing what's wrong, understands where they're coming from. Isha Sharuch, Bo Chazal says, who understands the ruach of each person and tries to be mechazik them based on where they're holding. I think this is the same idea. It's a lesson of midos and leadership that, of course, the sine qua non, you have to be right, you have to be correct, you have to do the emes in the world. And you have to stand up for what's right, like Hashem did what's right against Levana, like Pinchas stood up for what's right. But ultimately, it's not enough to stand up for what's right. You also have to understand that even if someone's wrong, that's their subjective reality. You have to understand where people are coming from and be sensitive to that. And even if someone gets hurt and it's right for them to get hurt, if you don't feel bad for it, you're doing something wrong. You have to understand, you have to care about each person. Katzon, Asherin Lahem Roe, and specifically if you want to be a leader, you know, if you want to be a Rav, you want to be a leader, the job of a Rav is to stand up for what's right. And in the modern world, a Rav has to be kanoi like Pinchas sometimes. Any Rav is not willing to get up, I don't mean to kill someone. Don't call the police on me. Any Rav is not willing to get up someplace and say, this is the Torah truth, and even if you don't like it, it's still the truth, and even if you feel bad, it's still the truth, and even if you're offended, it's still the truth. It's not a Rav. But at the same time, you have to think about how that's going to make people feel and what chizik they need from that and what you need to do to bring them close to Torah nonetheless and to make it up to them, to make them realize that you're not trying to denigrate them and that it's not personal, and be sensitive. And if Hashem could ask for a kapara, then certainly we, who you never know, maybe we're even wrong sometimes, even when we're standing up for the right thing, maybe we made a mistake and did it in the wrong way. We certainly have to be sensitive to other people's feelings and do everything we can to try to make them feel better. Shabbat Shalom.